you may be disturbed. Excuse me, you may be seated, please. So this case is David Fries and others. I apologize if I mispronounced that. Versus Charles and Barbara Kidd. I apologize if I mispronounced that. So, may I have any further appearances, please, first for the appellants.
Eric Schweso, registration number 23385, appearing for the three appellants.
Thank you very much.
Counsel Clay, registration number 9666, appearing for the appellate.
All right, thank you, Mr. Clay. So we're ready to get started. So Schweso, this is a 1 hour case. That means you have half an hour. You're going to keep track of your own time if you want to reserve anything for covering about our argument, since you didn't sell the clock on the stand. So go ahead, please, Mr. Schweso.
Thank you. Good afternoon. May it please the court, Mr. Clay. I am here representing the opposers in the water court case below, David Fries, George Fries, Delma Fries, and Shirley Fries. They are the owners of the Garner Creek Ditch Number 1 in Sawatch County, Colorado, in the San Luis Valley. It is a ditch that was decreed in the general adjudication in Sawatch County in 1890 for 6.4 CFS for the irrigation of 320 acres. And the Freezes now as successors in interest to, I can't remember who the original was who obtained that decree, irrigate those same 320 acres. The ditch runs a little over 3 miles long from its point of diversion on Garner Creek coming out of the San Cristo mountain range until it reaches the irrigated property of the Freezes. The ditch, the Garner Creek Ditch Number 1, during the normal irrigation season, takes the entire flow of Garner Creek, usually.
And that's that 6 CFS amount, or what?
6.4 CFS.
6.4.
Yep.
And this application here is for 0.041?
0.41, so about a half, a little under half a CFS.
Right, so just a fraction of what's being taken through the ditch.
Correct. But a fraction, as I'll get into, that comes out of the ditch itself. And I think maybe that's one of the issues that gave rise to the ruling that we have and that we have on appeal here.
Well, can I just clarify the water rights with you now?
Certainly.
So this water right that goes back into the 1800s, when has it generally been diverted?
I could not tell you when it comes into priority with enough water flowing in the creek on a regular basis, but certainly by late April to early May.
So probably a normal irrigation season?
Correct.
April to October, maybe?
Out of the Sangre de Cristos, it's a fairly short irrigation, generally.
So maybe shorter than that. The reason I ask is that this decree, which was made final through referee's ruling, doesn't seem to have any temporal limitation on it. It appears to authorize a water right that could potentially be a year-round right if it were available outside of the irrigation season of your clients. Is that correct?
I believe that's correct. And in fact, that's one of the points that was raised in the applicant's response brief, was that, well, it's certainly not true that that irrigation water right takes the entire flow of the creek all year long, because it only takes the whatever of that 6.4 CFS is available to it during the irrigation season.
And it's also true that in some years your client may not have to divert at all. There might be enough moisture, or they may not need it in a particular year, so they don't necessarily divert this at the full amount every year, do they?
I cannot imagine a year in which they would not divert at all, but there certainly are times in which they would be in priority and not taking water.
And not taking water, or not taking a full amount.
Or not taking a full amount.
And then when the right was, when the application was amended, the point of diversion is actually at the head gate, not along the ditch itself, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
That's what I call the sleight of hand. And the reason I call it that is it's exactly the same application. when the application was filed, the point of diversion was described as in the ditch itself.
But if they erected a head gate independently alongside your client's head gate, no problem, right?
I don't even think they need to do that. They could use the same head gate. We don't have an objection to using the same head gate.
So what's the problem then?
The problem is they're using the same water right. They're using the same water that gets diverted into the garden.
No, this is plainly a separate water right. This, what is it? It has a date of 2010, right, for hydropower. Your clients have an 1800-something-or-other water right for irrigation.
Right, and if this were a 2010 water right of 0.41 CFS for hydropower, diverted when that amount was available in priority in the stream into my client's ditch, we wouldn't be here. That would be fine. My clients would have no objection to a 2010 water right diverted in priority and running in their ditch.
Well, I'm just looking at the decree, and the decree doesn't say anything else than that this is a use right for the public's water resource diverted at the head gate for hydropower, right? And it's a conditional right because the facility hasn't been built to take the water, right? You'd agree with all of that?
I agree with all of that.
Okay, right. That, I just wanted to clarify.
So the problem is that when the Garner Creek Ditch number one is in priority for its 6.4 CFS, all of the water is diverted into the Garner Creek Ditch head gate, or 6.4 CFS, or whatever is available is diverted into the Garner Creek Ditch number one head gate. Of that 6.4 CFS, let's call it a full right, 0.41 is not on top. It doesn't get diverted on top. It's part of 6.4 diverted for my client's irrigation water right. And at that head gate, the head gate sees 6.4 CFS. Further downstream, when the TIDS hydro plant pipeline picks up out of the ditch, 0.41 CFS goes through their generating pipeline to their turbine, 6 makes its way down. The 0.41 is used through the turbine to generate power, and then theoretically all of it rejoins the ditch again before it reaches.
But that's almost instantaneously, right? This is just a direct flow run through the small hydro facility, right? It's not stored, right?
That's right.
So it's basically, you know, what I'm asking you, isn't the full amount of your client's water right going to be available to it?
Well, we think so. And that's one of the issues that the parties working together did attempt to address. So what happened procedurally in the court was the water court was presented with the question of, can you get a water right diverting out of the ditch, which is essentially what this is. And the water court acknowledged that that's what this was. And the water court ruled that, yes, you can. You can get a water right diverting out of the ditch. But if the applicants are going to do that, they're going to have to do it in such a way that the senior irrigation user is not injured. So the water court re-referred this back to the referee to have a hearing to determine terms and conditions that would be adequate to ensure that my client...
But you're not challenging any of those free terms and conditions, are you?
No, in fact, the parties worked together and entered into a stipulated agreement as to what those terms and conditions ought to look like. In the event that the water right could exist at all, those terms and conditions were agreed to by the parties as terms and conditions that should hopefully be adequate to ensure no injury. So, no, we're not challenging those.
Okay. Can I ask one follow-up? You used the term injured there when you were talking about the senior water right. Are you arguing simply that the senior water right can't be injured, or are you arguing, in fact, that the junior can't have a water right that is not junior to the senior right?
That's precisely what I'm arguing. The junior cannot have a water right that uses the senior right, that piggybacks on the senior right in order to divert.
And so
the junior can have a water right that's junior to the senior right.
And so injury to the senior right is not essential to your argument?
No, it is not. We're not... We stipulate, or stipulated in the water court, terms that we hope will address that injury. So I can talk, there is injury. And I think that some of the potential for that injury was raised both in the amicus brief that was filed by the Rio Grande Water Users Association and in my briefing, specifically directed to what happens when you decree a water right that is piggybacked on a senior surface water right. What happens to that senior right's ability to manage its water right in the future? What happens to the ability to change the point of diversion or to change the place of use? When to do so, in this case, if you move the head gate out of the existing ditch, out of the existing head gate on the creek, move it downstream a quarter mile, you've destroyed that hydropower infrastructure. If you move it who knows how far, I'm sure there is a distance you could move it, where you then have also destroyed the fall necessary to generate hydropower at all. So the senior's ability to change his or her water to a different point of diversion or to a different place of use is impacted by the existence of this junior. It can't be done because it's not a water right out of the stream. If this were a water right out of the stream, we wouldn't have that issue.
Well, here's the issue with that, though. If you change the point of diversion, right, place of use, type of use, whatever you want to do, you now then have a consumptive use evaluation. That's what you can transfer, right? And I don't see how a junior hydro right can prevent, which is non-consumptive, can prevent a change of a beneficial historic consumptive use, which you would have to prove to do this change that you're talking about.
Well, let's assume that we're irrigating with as good of irrigation efficiency as you can get with your flood irrigation, and you change the point of diversion, you're essentially going to be changing the entire 6.3 CFS.
CFS. You're going to have to quantify the beneficial historic consumptive use made of the public's water resource. You don't own the entire CFS. You know that. I mean, you've been around this for a long time. The return flows back into the public resource. The water traveling in the ditch is still the public's water resource. You're making a consumptive use by applying it to the fields. So I'm not getting actually how this hypothetical problem of changing it and interrupting the hydro, well, they simply have to build another point of diversion for their hydro. If you don't want to use that head gate anymore, and they're decreed for that point, they need to build a structure that does what they need to do their junior hydro right. Isn't that correct?
That's absolutely correct. And that's,
well, how can that block a non-use of the irrigation right or a change of water right according to the law that you're allowed to transfer the historic consumptive use? They have no historic consumptive use, even if they perfect this, to transfer. They have only the point of diversion to run it through this hydro plant.
Right. My point is merely that if my clients move their point of diversion such that their water that they moved, the physical water, is no longer available through to be diverted through the original Garner Creek Ditch Number 1 head gate, the hydro plant gets no water because they, again, they're not relying on their own 0.41.
It depends on what you're then able to show as an applicant for a change that you're entitled to transfer.
That's right. That assumes that you're entitled to transfer the full diversion to achieve the same amount of historical consumptive use.
That's what I'm questioning.
Yeah, I agree. But those are facts that in the future we don't know what they are. But I think it's certainly plausible that if the only thing being changed for whatever reason is the point of diversion, and it's still the same acreage that's irrigated, it's still the same application efficiency, you're likely to end up changing near the same amount of water that was diverted at the head gate. Certainly raises that issue as a question. And I think it's that reason that in Upper Gunnison, the Arapahoe County v. Upper Gunnison case, this court made very clear that it is only the owner of a water right that has standing, that has the right to add uses to that water right. Because that's what's really happening. We're talking, and again, the water court acknowledged this in the briefing of the applicants, they acknowledged this. We're talking about the same water. We're talking about the same water right. And the water said, well, please, you have a decree for irrigation water. You don't have a decree for electricity generation. You don't have a hydropower decree. And so therefore, to the extent that your water that you have appropriated and diverted for your irrigation purposes can also be used for hydropower, we're going to let the TIDs do that. And that served the function of doing exactly the same thing, I submit, that this court said you can't do in the Upper Gunnison case. That allowed the TIDs to essentially change the freezes water rate to add a hydropower use to that water rate. And the water court asked me this, and I frankly don't know the answer. Could the freezes add hydropower or use their water rate for hydropower purposes without going through a change case? Could the freezes do what the TIDs have done, put a hydropower, micro-hydropower generating plant in their ditch right-of-way? It's their ditch right-of-way. It's their irrigation water right. What difference is it if they run it through a turbine before it gets to their property? I don't know whether they would need a change in water right for that, or whether they could just do it. Certainly they couldn't call for the water for hydropower generation purposes without having to change the water rate. But if they've called for the water, if they're using the water legitimately under their irrigation rate, could they run through a turbine on its way down there? I think they could. I don't think the TIDs can. And that's the whole point.
Council, over here. Sorry. As I understand, this is a new conditional right that's being applied for, and I didn't notice anything in the trial court's Barber's order making a finding of the availability of this additional 0.41 CFS. Is that correct, or is that, am I missing something?
That is correct, because it's not an additional 0.41 CFS.
It's part of parcel of the 6.4 that's already decreed to your clients.
Exactly. So, okay. And if you look at the water courts, and maybe it may not be in the decree. I was focusing on the water court's ruling on the issue for determination of a question of law. And
I think that's what I was looking at. I didn't see anything in that order.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure it is in the order.
Okay.
But in the ruling in the ruling on the determination for question of law on page 4, the water court indicates that it does address the issue of availability, and the court writes that the TIDs argue that water is available to appropriate because, although they intend to appropriate the same physical water as the water the opposers have already appropriated, they intend to obtain a priority for a different use, hydropower, rather than irrigation. So it's the same. It's available because it's available to the irrigation. And also, just to be clear, it is available also outside of the time that irrigation water right would be calling for water.
So, well, see, that's interesting. Where do you find that in the decree?
I don't.
Yeah, but that's why I thought it was unrestricted. I mean, the decree doesn't say that the hydropower right is restricted only to water that's being called for the irrigation.
Correct, and I agree. And so at times where, sort of as we talked at the outset, at times where the irrigation water right is not calling for water, either it's out of season or the irrigator doesn't need it, the 0.41 is available under that 2010, and it's in priority as a 2010 water right, is available to satisfy the hydropower plan.
And even if you are calling, your client is calling, there's no injury, and that obviously, you know, so what's wrong on the face of this decree? I mean, it protects against injury, it uses the public's water resource, it seems to get another bang for the buck, you know, we're supposed to optimize multiple use of the resources. It looks like a neighbor dispute here without any real substance. Well, because you don't own the molecules of water, you know that, because you can substitute an augmentation plan or substitute supply plan and divert the molecules of water that would, you know, we don't color water, right?
We don't, except we recognize water rights that have already been appropriated. So the Constitution, when it says the right to divert unappropriated waters of any natural stream of the state shall never be denied, does not address this situation. Here we're talking about appropriating already appropriated waters.
No, I would argue that's not what this decree says. I mean, that's the way you characterize it, but this is a separate use right for a certain amount at that point of diversion. Now, you know, you had the argument before where they were diverting from the ditch itself, it seemed to me. But if you don't call that water right, it seems to me this decree, in any given time, in any given season, even during the irrigation season, let alone outside it, they're entitled, under this decree, to divert that amount of water.
Absolutely.
Through the hydro plant.
Absolutely. If my clients do not call their water right, that is absolutely true.
But if they do call it, there's no injury to you. And so one of the lodestars here is how we make optimum beneficial use of the public's water resource. You don't own the molecules, right? Of the public's water resource without causing injury. Isn't that what the inquiry is about?
Well, I think that's what the water court based its decision on. The water court cited to the Empire Lodge case and said, look, our public policy directive is to maximize the water use, water rights resources of the state. And I, as the court, can't find case law direction on this, so I'm going to hang my hat on Empire Lodge and say that in order to maximize the use of the water, I'm going to recognize that in this situation, there's no injury.
I'd say the Upper Gunnison case was stored water, and the issue there is administering down the water from Taylor Park Reservoir to Blue Mesa Reservoir so that it can't be intercepted. So it was stored under a refill decree, right? And then it's released and shepherded down. Well, now someone can't intercept that water unless they replace it, right, to the place it's supposed to go to, which was the Blue Mesa Reservoir.
I don't see why there's a difference between stored water and water that is in a ditch because it was appropriated. It's diverted out of the stream under the appropriation for irrigation uses and being intercepted by a new user before it reaches those uses. It's the same as if...
It's not allowed. I mean, the water was released downstream and was administrable by the state engineer, right? That's the issue where somebody else can't appropriate that water unless they replace it. The other case up there involving Taylor Park Reservoir was the Arapahoe County case, where physically the appropriator was going to try to tie into a government facility without government permission. Now, your client is not the government.
That's the case that I am.
I know, and I'm going to say that that problem with that was, and Justice Corliss explicitly addressed that, is that when you tap into the property of the federal government, you've got to have the permission of the government. There was no showing of any permission for the government there. This is a private kind of deal going on here, and the right of condemnation exists for private condemnation to get what payment of just compensation to get your water to the place you need to, right?
The right of condemnation exists for condemning the right to use the ditch. It does not exist for condemning the water right itself.
That's what I'm saying. And your argument is about the ditch. The water right is independent.
No, my argument is not about the ditch.
Straighten this up.
I will try. We don't care about the ditch, other than to the extent that we want to make sure, and have attempted to make sure through terms and conditions that were stipulated to, we don't care about the ditch, other than to make sure it doesn't get injured by too high a pressure on the return flow, or it leaks, or whatever problem. That ditch is available for use by the TIDS 0.41 CFS. It's available for use if some other appropriator, if there were water in the stream, wanted to run water through that same ditch. Colorado statutes provide for it. No more than one ditch burdening a piece of property, and the owner of the ditch must permit enlargement to other water rights holders. That's certainly true. It's not the ditch. It's my client's water. It's their water right, and I don't think that the Arapahoe County case turned on the fact that the county was trying to use a governmental water right permission. It was trying to use a water right permission. All the language in that case is only the owner of a water right has permission or has standing to change that water right. And the language of the case also was to hold otherwise would open up a challenge to the settled rights that the water right appropriator thought that they had obtained when they received the water right through the adjudication process.
So in your view, counsel, if the TITS had come to the water court with this proposed new conditional right and said, hey, here we can show that there's actually more than 6.4 CFS in this ditch, enough to accommodate our 0.41 request, and we're going to tap into that additional water, it's available, grant us a conditional decree, you wouldn't have a problem with that.
Right, no problem.
But that's not what happened here, in your view, because instead, what the court allowed was this 0.41 to come out of the 6.4 that has already been appropriated.
Correct.
And so I'm just trying to make sure I understand your concern is that rather than seeking to appropriate unappropriated waters of the natural stream, they've actually appropriated your client's previously appropriated water rights.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Thank you.
And I thought that was very clear. I obviously was not correct because the water court, I don't mean it to you. I thought that was clear when it was presented to the water court, and frankly, I was astounded when this decree issued. And I understand the rationale of maximize the use, but this is not a water right that diverts unappropriated waters of the state of a natural stream. Thank you. I'll save the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you.
May it please the court, I'm Aaron Clay on behalf of the applicants and TITS in this case. I think this case turns on the difference between the physical water that's in a ditch and the water right that allowed that water to get into the ditch. I think the opposers are wrong when they say that my clients have appropriated their water right. We have not appropriated their water right. We have appropriated a new junior water right with the 2010 priority. They still have a water right. They still have every right in the world to take that 6.4 CFS and put it to use on their fields. And the terms and conditions that are in the decree, if you read it, were designed essentially to prevent that 6.4 from being depleted on its way to the field. That's why we spent all that time in there.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Maybe I don't understand exactly about the order, but as I understand the decree and the order, you don't have an appropriation to take more water out of the stream and put it into that ditch. Is that wrong?
No, that's correct.
And so it is only the amount of water that the Frees have as an appropriation and are allowed to take out of the stream that you're talking about. Is that right?
Partially. When the Freeses are not taking their 6.4, then the 0.41 is a 2010 priority in the ditch. Non-irrigation season, if there happen not to be irrigating, or if there's more than 6.4, then the 0.41 is available.
And so they're not allowed to take it out as their appropriation when they're not in priority and they're not using it. So are you saying at those other times, then the decree does permit you to take additional water from the amount that's in their appropriation and put it in the ditch?
If it's available. But the issue here is not that issue. I don't think anybody's arguing about that. Non-irrigation season, if they're not taking the full 6.4, nobody's arguing about that. The argument is, when the Freezes are taking their 6.4, mm-hmm. can my client have a decree that allows them to take a portion of that 6.4 CFS, and use it for a different purpose on its way to the irrigation?
And that's the point right there. So given what you've just said there, why is it that your clients are not putting the Freeze appropriated water to their own use?
Because we are simply adding the use to an already decreed use, and that's done all the time. We add uses, the same water in the same ditch may have many, many different uses, and all we're saying is we're going to add the use of hydropower to the same ditch that's already decreed for irrigation.
See, where I was trying to get a little bit of my question to your opposing counsel is, That sounds to me like what you're arguing is you're permitted to make this appropriation as long as you're not injuring the Freeze.
I think that's correct. And that's why we went through all of the process to prevent injury to them.
And is there another question, though, which is, do you meet the requirements for an appropriation?
Certainly.
Quite apart from whether you're injuring somebody, are you diverting water from the stream and putting it to a beneficial use in priority?
Certainly we have to meet those. And the Water Court found that we did. And the first page of my brief says we had intent. We're going to divert from the stream into this ditch.
Do you divert from the stream?
Yes, absolutely.
Or do you divert water in their appropriation from their ditch?
Both. But the water that we're diverting from their ditch is not being applied for. The water that's being applied for is out of the natural stream.
But it sounds to me like what you were saying, at least conceptually here, is the water you're talking about is water that's already been diverted from the stream by them.
Okay.
And you want it diverted from their ditch.
That's why we have to talk about the difference between the physical water and the water right. Yes, it's the same physical water. It's going to come through the same headgate. It's going to go down the same ditch. Let's talk about when they're 6 CFS. They're diverting 6 CFS because they're up to 6.4. That same 6 physical CFS is going to go down on the ditch. But the water right, for my clients to be able to have a hydropower plant, they need a water right that allows them to use part of that 6 CFS. It's the same physical water, no doubt about that. But it's not the same water right. We're not taking any of the water right away. They have the right to use their water right. It's a usufructuary right. We're not impacting that. So that's why we have all the terms and conditions. But we're getting it. Well, we have a water right that the Water Board agreed that says on its way to the field, you can take up to 0.41 CFS and run it through a turbine. That's basically all it says when they're taking their irrigation right. So, and I keep struggling with the piggyback. I'm not sure what that means. We are using the same physical water. That's what you mean by piggyback. Yes, that's true. We're using the same physical water. But we want to maximize the beneficiaries' water in Colorado. So what's wrong with adding another use to the same physical water if there's no injury to the owner of the water right?
And could I just, one last here, because we're just getting right to the point that's causing me some trouble. So in a sense, it sounds to me like you're saying, and maybe this is the thrust of Justice Hobbs' question, if this is not injuring anybody, why shouldn't we allow it? And maybe we can create a new way to get an appropriation, mm-hmm. new requirements. But what I'm asking is, and we may decide to do that for policy reasons, if it's allowable under the statute, but has that been done up to this point, and does it meet the traditional accepted definition of an appropriation? Even does it meet the requirement of a diversion?
And the answer is yes and yes, and it has been done. On page 4 of the reply brief, and Justice Hobbs and counsel talked about this case already, the Arapahoe County versus Upper Gunnison River case, they cited for the proposition that a stranger to a water right cannot ask for a change of that water right. No doubt about that. But the rest of that case, there's two cases wrapped up in that. There's two water court cases that came up to the court in that same appeal. The first one was the Upper Gunnison River Water Conservancy District wanted to make a change on Taylor Park water rights by adding some additional uses and keep the 1941 priority. The court said you can't do that. You don't own that water right, and only the owner can ask for a change. In the second case, what's called the 203 case, the Upper Gunnison District asked to add additional uses to Taylor Park Reservoir as a refill right. The same structure, the same physical water being stored in Taylor Park Reservoir under two priorities. One is a priority that's owned by the United States for irrigation only, and the second is a priority that's owned by now the Upper Gunnison River Water Conservancy District for fishery and recreation and environmental uses. It's exactly the same case. The same physical water being stored in Taylor Park Reservoir. And Justice Hobbs says we don't color water. Well, I'm going to say we do. We color some water irrigation. We color some water recreation. We color some water fishery. The same physical water, but it has different colors. And that was allowed specifically by the court in that case. So I think this is exactly the same. I don't think we're asking anything new. It's not new precedent. We're simply saying, as this water goes down the ditch, it's going to have an irrigation component, which is owned by the Freezes. It's going to have a hydropower component, which is owned by the TIDs, which is certainly junior to the Freezes' use, which is why we went through the whole exercise. all the terms and conditions. I don't think there's anything new here. I think the upper Benson case already established that. I want to briefly address the other case that they cite extensively, which is Public Service Company versus FERC, 754 F. Second, 1555. In that case, the issue there was whether or not Public Service Company, which owned and operated a Shoshone power plant at the time, which diverts 1,250 CFS out of the Colorado River and generates hydrocarbons, whether they owe money to the federal government under the FERC law, because at times of the year when there wasn't sufficient natural flow to provide their 1,250 CFS, they were still diverting water out of the river and generating power with it. And that water was only available to them because it had been stored by the federal government in Green Mountain Reservoir, some miles upstream. And so the issue in that case was whether under the FERC rules, public service owed, turns out to be millions of dollars, to the federal government for what was called head capacity. In other words, the idea is that water would not have been at Shoshone Power Plant had it not been stored earlier in priority. That case did not say that public service could not take the water from the Colorado River because it was somehow owned by the federal government in Green Mountain Reservoir. In fact, they assumed that public service was going to continue to do that because they were. They dammed off the Colorado River and they take that water and they run it through their penstocks. They continued to use that water right, even though it was, quote, owned by the federal government. And the question in that case was, it's a federal question under federal law, did they owe some money to the federal government? And the court said yes, because that bundle of water rights, physical water, could not have been available to your penstocks if the federal government had not saved it for you and then delivered it later. I don't see that has anything to do with what we're talking about here. We're talking about an appropriation of water for a clearly beneficial use, which will be diverted in a ditch. It's going to be, the physical molecules are going to be diverted in common with other molecules that are the same molecules that are going to be eventually used for irrigation, but we do that all the time. Wind decrees for irrigation and stock water, and those same molecules can be used multiple times, and that's what we're supposed to do with water in Colorado. I want to talk for a moment about the amicus briefs. It seems that the amicus has two concerns. First is that the applicant should not be allowed to compel the opposers, the freezers in this case, to continue to run water in the ditch. I don't see anything in the decree or anything in the law that says that the freezers have to run water in the ditch. If they choose to run water under their irrigation priority, they choose to do that. If they choose not to, there's nothing in this decree, there's nothing in the law that says they have to continue to run water in the ditch. So I don't know where that amicus comes up. That's not even a concern. Freezers can choose to take water under their priority or not take water under their priority. The practical effect of that, the physical effect, may be that the TIDs may have a problem running their plant, but that's their issue. If they may have to come back, if the freezers decide not to use this ditch anymore, the TIDs may have to go back to court and establish a different water right, more than the 0.41. But at this point, you can't take more water than you need. And at this point, they need 0.41, because it's the same molecule that's going down the ditch. So at this point, I just ask the court to affirm the order of the water court and the judgment and decree entered June 16, 2014. And then I have one more request. If the court does that, I would also request that this court indicate the due date for the diligence filing that will be due in 6 years. I don't know if it will be 6 years from the date of the trial court decision, which was June, which would be June 2020, or 6 years from this court's decision, which would be sometime in 2011. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. I think you do have a few minutes of rebuttal if you wish.
Well, I think we've certainly identified what the issue is here, and a plain reading of the Upper Gunnison case on page 850 makes clear that the case in which the court found that the district did have the right to operate an additional decree for new uses into the Taylor Park Reservoir was precisely that. It was in 1975 right for a second fill of that reservoir to add new uses, a junior water right. If we're talking about a junior water right, again, there is no issue before this court. What we're talking about is really the second case dealt with by the Edward Gunnison Court, and that is a change to this existing senior water right. And that case makes...
See, I don't understand that at all. You're saying they applied for a change of your water right?
Yes. They didn't call it that. But that's what it is.
A change of water right retains the senior priority, right?
Exactly.
Right. This doesn't retain the senior priority. The priority of this is 2010, isn't it? Or 2011, whatever it is. This is not a 1880, what was the date of the priority?
1890 is the date of the decree.
If they had been claiming an 1890 right to divert, you know, under your decree, I'd say you nailed it. They can't do that. But they're using a much more junior date, junior water rate, and a fractional amount of this water that's going to go through this ditch when it does go through, and when it doesn't go through, they have to divert it.
And then I think we get to...
And it has to be available in priority.
I think we then get to Justice Coates' question, which is this even an appropriation? So when Empire Lodge says that the public policy of the state of Colorado is to maximize beneficial use, it also recognized that the legislature determined that the way to do that was through the Water Rights Determination and Administration Act in 1969. That act defines, this is cited in my briefing, that act defines what constitutes an appropriation. And an appropriation is the application of a specified portion of the waters of the state to a beneficial use pursuant to the procedures prescribed by law. And the waters of the state are defined by the Act as all surface and underground water in or tributary to all natural streams within the state of Colorado. Once the water for in Garner Creek is diverted under the priority of the Garner Creek Ditch Number 1, 1896.4 CFS water right that my client owns, it's no longer waters of the state.
That is not so. I would submit to you that is just not plainly not so. You don't own the full CFS. That's the diversion right you have to take it to the fields. In a change of water right proceeding, the true mature measure of the water right is the beneficial historic consumptive use. There are additional uses added all the time, and you already cited the ditch statute that says you don't have to build another ditch if an existing ditch can carry your water without injury to somebody else. Right? I mean, you acknowledge those cases.
They're certainly true. The ability to use the same ditch is not the question that we're talking about. We're talking about the ability to use the water.
Would it be too much to say for me to characterize what you're saying as once you've diverted water in priority for your appropriation, that nobody can touch those molecules before you do?
I think that's right. And I hesitate there because I know, as Justice Hoff has been saying, that it's a usufructuary right. You don't own the actual molecules, but you've made the appropriation.
But you're saying you get to use them first.
You get to use them first. You've made the appropriation. It's your appropriation. It's your property right. It's your use.
Let me weigh in with, it's probably a rookie question, but why should we want you to be right?
Because if I am not right, you do exactly what the Upper Gunnison Court was concerned about. You sabotage the settled expectations of rights and obligations of the owners of a water right who have achieved that water right by going through the adjudication process. We're in a whole new world where really the standard to get a water right becomes, have you injured anybody else? Not have you made an appropriation under the Act.
This is on the water court form for an appropriation for a direct flow right, correct? It's not a change of water right, it's not an augmentation plan, it's not anything else but a direct flow water application, correct?
That's the form that was used. That is not the effect of the right that was obtained. So that's the reason that we would ask, respectfully, that this court reverse the decision of the water court and remand it for dismissing the application. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The case will stand submitted, and I'd like to thank both counsel for your arguments today.